Read the second commandment as it's printed there. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? You still find the name of God in courthouses. Usually it's used in a solemn way, so help me God. May God have mercy on your soul. But there's more to not misusing God's name than solemnity, because there's an awful lot more to his name than the mere sound of the letters. God himself indicates how important the use of his name is to him, in that this is the only commandment that carries a specific threat. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Our own large catechism shows the same awesome respect, saying, misuse of the holy name is the greatest sin that can outwardly be committed. The name of God is how we know God. He is not, as the Masonic Lodge claims, the nameless one of a thousand names. He's not the country boy who says, call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for dinner. You don't know the true God if you know a supreme being, the grand architect, the big man upstairs. Scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's victory over our enemies. It's blessedness. It's salvation. That's an awful lot in a name, isn't it? That's why Moses is at such pains to know it. When God appears in the burning bush and sends Moses back to Israel, Moses asks, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? What would you tell them? God sent you? The Father sent you? The Lord sent you? No, we would say Jesus sent us. Well, we got to Christmas early tonight. That's understandable, since at Christmas we hear that God's name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. At Christmas, we find out that although no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known. Those are familiar Bible passages to you. Maybe too much so. Maybe you hear them, but you don't really hear them. Listen then to Jesus in John 17:6 praying to his heavenly Father. He says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. You only know the name of God, the right God to pray, praise, and give thanks to through who Jesus is and what Jesus does. You only know the saving God, the helping God, the blessing God in, with, and under the name Jesus. Scripture is very clear at this. Acts 4:12. There is only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. How awesome is that? A name that can rescue from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. A name that everyone on earth, everyone above the earth, and everyone under the earth will one day bow to. You know how in olden times, stop in the name of the king could really stop someone? The name of God still has the power to stop sin, to stop death, to stop the devil. Then why don't we, who claim to believe that these three unholy things have been stopped from carrying us away in God's name, why don't we then have more respect for that name? In fact, I think we show more respect for people's names than for God's. I can't say about you, but at the airport, when I pick up luggage with someone else's name on it, I quickly put it back. God's name is how he labels his property. That's why the explanation includes satanic arts as a misuse of God's name. Satanic arts are things like psychics, horoscopes, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, witches, and spirit conjurers. And no, you can't consult them just for fun any more than you can consort with a prostitute or shoplift just for fun. These are violations of the second commandment because the future and the realm of the dead, the two areas these things have to do with, they belong exclusively to God. God hasn't given the realm of the dead or the future to men at all. He has posted it. You Texans know what that means. You know, if you go into posted land, you are trespassing. You don't belong there because it has someone else's name on it. Although the satanic arts always get the most attention from children and confirmation, it's not the most serious misuse of God's name. According to the Large Catechism, the greatest abuse occurs in spiritual matters. These have to do with the conscience, when false preachers rise up and offer their lying vanities as God's word. But that doesn't really seem that like that's that big of a deal, does it? False teaching does not seem as serious as witchcraft or as sorcery. Well, think again. How angry you would be if I put your name on my car loan. How angry you would be if I put your name on a salacious letter to someone else's spouse. How angry you'd be if I said that you had said something you did not. Yet it's no big deal when the Baptist preacher says, God says babies are not to be baptized. It's no big deal when the Methodist preacher says, God says Jesus' body and blood are only represented in Holy Communion. It's no big deal when the Catholic priest says, God says his son is to be sacrificed daily. It's a big deal if I put your name on anything that doesn't belong to you or on anything you didn't say. But it's no big deal to us if others do that with God's name. Have you ever seen a movie directed by Alan Smithy? They're out there. That's a fictional name. There is no Alan Smithy. The real director didn't want to have his name associated with that movie for some reason, and so puts directed by Alan Smithy. That might have happened to you. You might have been so upset with a joint effort or at school or at work that you said, take my name off it. This is why Christmas should amaze you. Read Isaiah. See how idolatrous and dark the people of God had become. Chapter 18, verse 19 castigates them for violations of the second commandment. They inquired of mediums. They inquired of necromancers. Then chapter 9 begins. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Then comes the familiar words, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This was the message God sent out on Christmas night to shepherds who were cut off from the Old Testament church of their day. He told them, for you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What had Israel done to deserve such a gift? What had the shepherds done? What have you done? God should take his name off the world project. God should take his name off the movie of mankind. Instead, God sent his son into the project. He sent his son into the movie. God allowed the good name of his son to be soiled with the sins of the world. The perfect Jesus allowed himself to be called malefactor, criminal, Beelzebub, demon, heretic, and guess what? God actually casted him off as such. God actually held him guilty of all the sins of the world. Any sin you can think of, all the sins you don't want to think of, and all the sins you've forgotten about yourself or anyone else ever doing, they were put down under Jesus' name. Jesus claimed them as his own. Those sins aren't in your name anymore. So in baptism, God called you by name and you are his. In the name of Jesus, God sends your sins away from you. In Jesus' name, you come to this altar and have access to the body and blood, the life and salvation that are here for sinners. Ready to turn the corner again? Ready to stop looking at how the second commandment can always convict you to how it is a gift to you? You're familiar with how the Jews will not say the sacred four letters of God's name. So afraid they are of misusing the name of their God. Though God's name is misused among us from every "oh my God" to every "God" to every "God damn," still God gives us the privilege of using his name. How honored we feel when someone important says, "use my name," to get into a privileged place. Though we misuse the name of God literally every day, still God says, "use my name." This is important because remember, his is the only name by which we can be saved. Calling on God in Jesus' name for Jesus' sake brings rescue, help, and salvation. I've told you before the story of the death row inmate that haunted me ever since I first read it. In the days when Joe Louis was a world-famous boxer, a man is being strapped into the electric chair at Angola State Prison in Louisiana. As the guards back away, he begins to beseech, he begins to implore, he begins to beg the only God he knows. "Joe Louis, help! Joe Louis, save me! Joe Louis, don't let me die!" That doesn't have to be you. You know the same name of God, and though we deserve to have it removed from our heart, from our mind, and from our lips, God the Spirit, through word and sacrament, keeps it there so you may call upon it in every trouble. That name is too powerful to be wasted as an exclamation. That name is too wonderful to be used as a curse. That name is too awful to be used in any other way but worship. Our translation closes with the direction to call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. The Latin doesn't close that way. It has the word adoramus before pray, praise, and give thanks. That is, let us worship by prayer, praise, and thanks. Do you see how you are being delivered, pulled out, rescued from yourself? The name, the name, the name. That is to be the object of your prayer. That is to be the object of your praise. That is to be the object of your thanks. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you think. It's not about how much you can believe. It's about the name of God. In what circumstances can you not worship by praying in God's name? In what situation can you not worship by praising his name? In what place can you not worship by giving thanks in his name? Haven't you ever wanted to forget someone as if you never knew their name? Well, yours is the name you get to forget in the worship of Jesus' name. That's a promise in Revelation. Jesus says there, "I will give you a new name, which no one can know except the one it's given to." Instead of sinner, saint. Instead of lost, found. Instead of dead, alive. What may or may not happen in a courthouse most certainly happens here in every divine service. Here, the name of God always helps. Here, in God's name, we always are mercied. Amen.